You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Kia ora, Dame Gaylene Preston. How are you this morning?
Kia ora.
It is very nice to be able to chat to you today. For anybody who's, I guess, been living under a rock for the last several decades in New Zealand, you're an amazing writer, director, producer, and all-around, I guess, powerhouse behind a lot of incredible film and television coming out of Aotearoa. And we're chatting to you today about a rescreening of a very special movie of yours called Mr. Wrong, which is going to be playing at the Hollywood Avondale this Friday as part of the Feminine Eye Festival that they are running at the moment. It must be pretty interesting to be seeing a rescreening of this for yourself, because this is, when did this movie originally come out, Gaylene?
Oh, it came out in, well, we shot it in 84, and it came out with great difficulty in 85 in New Zealand. It was excluded from cinemas when it
was.
Wow.
So what was the reasoning for that?
Well, it wasn't. I just don't think the distributors. There was only two or three cinema chains in New Zealand at the time, and they just didn't quite get it, so they wouldn't screen it. So we four-walled it.
Wow.
At the mighty Paramount in Wellington, and sort of sold out. But it was saved by the film festival, actually, because once it screened in the film festival, it just roared up the country. But and then they said, "Oh, too many people have seen it to put into our cinemas."
Oh my God, that seems like just whacking your head against bureaucracy again and again there, especially when the movie is so singular and so interesting. Tell us a little bit about what Mr. Wrong is all about, Gaylene.
Well, we say her mother wanted her to find Mr. Right, but she found Mr. Wrong. it's about a woman who, it's a story of a really nice girl played by Heather Bolton. She's a good Kiwi woman, and she's come to town. She's a bit shy, but she's going to give it a burl, and she buys a car that's haunted by the previous owner. And everything flows from that, really. The car never does anything that second-hand cars don't do.
Mm.
You know, like their door, the door locks and you can't get in.
Oh, yeah.
Or, I don't know, there's hundreds of things the car does. But actually, it's got a ghost in it.
I think that's one of the things that I really like about the premise of this is it comes from where I think I'm a big wuss, and horror has never been my genre. Thrillers I'm more in the realm of, because there's something about the fact that they often come from the everyday real life world in a way that's much more sort of tangible. As you say, there's sort of a lot of things that happen in this film that happen in your real life, and it's just that tiny switch from reality into this kind of idea of the supernatural that you can see, you know, when it's raining pretty hard or when you're feeling really tired. You know, you kind of feel like that could happen in your real life at any moment, and I think that's what gives it such a tension when you are watching it. Also, there is the amazing tension of this being a film that does centre around a young woman, has got a woman director, and we know, because this is part of what the Hollywood is programming at the moment, that always achieves a different type of output when you get thrillers and these kind of tense movies, and perhaps when you get a bloke directing it. We're seeing these...
It's a genre that's pretty well defined.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's full of women who, in the middle of a major crisis, they scream and can't run very fast.
Yeah.
And are usually wearing diaphanous flowing nikes.
Yeah.
And they're just not anybody I know.
No.
So Mr. Wrong, the other thing is that I was really worried about the amount of hitchhiker murders in New Zealand at the time.
Mm.
You know, we don't have so many hitchhiker murders of women now, because women don't hitchhike.
Mm.
But and that's why. But I wanted to write the balance.
Yeah.
By changing that story, and I wanted also to make a film that could have one thing in it that might be worth doing if you found yourself in a car with a maniac.
Yeah. That's a really interesting thing to put like a tool, a useful real life tool into a thriller. Did you sort of know that before you wrote and started working on this film, or was that something that came out of the process of working on it?
No, but I worked towards it, and I did one of the Lightolus self defence courses that are now in schools, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, once I did that, I thought I've got to find a way to put that in the film.
Mm.
It was a great film to make. It was a huge adventure, and we got sued in the middle of it. The money ran out. You know,
oh
the
God.
Whole story of the making of Mr. Wrong is a complete long chapter in my forthcoming book.
Very excited to read about that. Give us a little, I guess, paint the picture of it a wee bit, because in the sort of mid-80s, as you say, it wasn't something that the cinemas were necessarily jumping to release, but, you know, you'd put a lot of blood, sweat and tears into this. How did this film come about, Gaylene?
Every time we did something, it was like climbing. You know, when you're climbing in the hills and you get to the top of the hill and there's another mountain, there's another ridge
yep.
to climb. It was kind of like that, really.
Oh my God.
And I mean, Robin Lang, who came on board to produce with me, I mean, the first thing is I couldn't get anybody to produce with me. So I finally got Robin Lang. She came on board, and then that was an immediate problem because there was only the two of us to talk to, so we'd go to meetings with the money people, not the film commission, because they turned it down. And we then, in those days, there was a tax write-off, so we went to financiers, and they didn't have real trouble. We'd go in, and there'd be funny chit-chat
right.
and looking at the doors, and then someone would say, oh, is this all there is? And we'd say, yep. And they go, oh, so we talk to you, do we? And we'd go, yes.
Yep. Oh, my God.
So you've got to, it's a funny time to talk about it now, because
yeah.
I'm glad to say that it has gone away to a degree.
Oh,
but
that's good.
I still think that we've got a long way to go in terms of actually telling women's stories.
Yeah.
Not just having women directors, women producers, and, you know, it's really still not that, there's not that much product out there that's really what's called the female eye.
It is an interesting thing, eh? And we see it quite often in conversations about, you know, when you see somebody receive an award and they are maybe the first or the second person to get that award who's a woman or a person of colour or a woman of colour, and you think, okay, these are very, you know, we're getting these wins slowly, slowly. But actually, the bigger conversation is about not just having people in these roles, but telling the stories of these people's lives as well in an authentic way, or in a way that is interesting or engaging to an audience. It's something that we're still seeing so much, I guess, push back against, or it's still hard to finance. As you say, maybe not as hard as it used to be. When you've had a very long career in filmmaking, what have been some of your observations about the way it's changed, or maybe not changed, for trying to get some of these stories to screen?
Well, what's changed is that, you know, young women such as myself in those days, and I was on the film commission, that there weren't that many filmmakers in New Zealand, and the film commission was a very small organisation. However, you can now see that the film commission, that I think globally the public funding bodies have done a lot to up quotas and get stats that look a bit more promising.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how much that's changed really in the commercial world. You know, the women who get decent budgets to play with are still few and far between.
Mm.
I'm happy to say that some of those women are from New Zealand.
Yeah.
But they are outstanding.
Mm.
And genre bending is such good fun.
It is.
It's
yeah.
fantastic. You know, the genres are sitting there
yeah.
waiting to be bent.
Yeah.
And you can make it really funny and really scary at the same time. And I'd like to see more of that.
I would also like to see more of that. I think there is a real appetite for it. We know whenever it happens, people love it. I think about some of the amazing stuff that we see on the small, the smaller scale or the more DIY scale. Whenever you get something like the 48-hour film competition, for example, some of the most fun things to come out of that are where people are really throwing the genre that they've been given around or you know, taking something and subverting it. Audiences love to see that. There's definitely an appetite for it, and super excited.
I say that the 48-hour film festival
yeah.
is the most magnificent thing, and you know the real. I don't know. It's got a great spirit, and I really hope that more and more women get cracking in there, roll
yeah.
their sleeves up, and it's just a fantastic thing.
Gaylene, it's really cool that people can go and see Mr. Wrong this Friday at the Hollywood Avondale. This is part of the Feminine Eye, which is this great little festival that they've been running of films made by women and with that lens to telling women's stories on the screen. We're also going to be able to see, if people head along at 7 p.m, Jane Hatch on Passionless Moments before we get to watch Mr. Wrong. I did think it's very cool. People have been talking about how Mr. Wrong is Quentin Tarantino, one of his favourite movies. How did that conversation even come up?
he was working at Vestron Video in I think it was Santa Monica when Mr. Wrong came out on VHS in the States. It had a cinema release, and then I think he watched it quite a bit.
That's so good.
And then years later, somebody said they'd been talking to Quentin, and he'd been talking about New Zealand films and was doing a bit of a rave on Mr. Wrong. And I think there's even this is just me thinking, but I think there's a character in one of his movies that's a very New Zealand girl played
yeah.
by Chloe Bell. She gets hers, but I've always thought that character was a bit of a tribute to Meg and Mr. Wrong.
That's so cool. That is so cool. Well, people can go and check this out for the first time if they've never seen it before, or relive it in its wonderful big screen glory at the Hollywood, 8 p.m. this Friday. But of course, head along early so you can see Passionless Moments by Jane Campion too. It's only $15 or $12 if you're a member of the Hollywood. Gaylene, thank you so much for chatting with us this morning. Have a wonderful rest of your week.
Hey, thanks. Thank you.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.